to skin you alive.
Former U.S. Marine officer Scott Ritter.
The Bush administration built a campaign that was more about psychological operations and information warfare.
Secretary of War Donald Rumsfeld.
Our goal is to defend the American people and to eliminate Iraq's weapons of mass destruction and to liberate the Iraqi people.
Draft-dodging chicken hawk George W. Bush.
We're out to keep the peace, to make the world more peaceful, to make our nation and other nations more secure.
Help the Iraqi people to a representative self-government.
If our goal and objective is the liberation of Iraq, the first thing we have to ask ourselves is, do the Iraqi people want to be liberated by us?
We refuse to leave the Iraqi people in slavery.
The Bush administration was blinded by its arrogance and by its ideology into believing that Iraq would be an easy target, that the entire world bought into the focus of Iraq as the center of all that is evil, and that that evil resides in the person of one man, Saddam Hussein.
And we're going to free the people of Iraq from the clutches of Saddam Hussein and his murderous allies.
One of the preconditions that we've built into how we've assembled force, that the Iraqi people would welcome us and would not resist us.
Fierce fighting currently underway will demand further courage and further sacrifice. In the last week, we have seen the brutal and cruel nature of a dying regime.
So we assumed this and started reducing our forces. Then we have to ask the question, will the Iraqi army fight?
We expect such war crimes, but we will not excuse them. Every Iraqi atrocity has confirmed the justice and the urgency of our cause.
Again, our assumption was that with the exception of a few hardcore units surrounding Saddam Hussein, the majority of the Iraqi army would not fight. So we, again, reduced our military forces.
Officers and soldiers in the field will increasingly see that their interests lie not in dying for a doomed regime, but in helping the forces of Iraq's liberation.
A campaign in which we bought into our own propaganda.
We're out to keep the peace, to make the world more peaceful.
And we assume the Iraqi people and the Iraqi military buy in.
Their ability to control their country is slipping away.
We're now fighting the most desperate units of the dictator's army.
To those in the Iraqi chain of command, some words of advice. Do not obey regime orders to use weapons of mass destruction. Do not follow orders to destroy any more of Iraq's oil wells.
If we said that you are going to lose. Your defeat is inevitable. Saddam Hussein's days are numbered. You must throw down your arms and surrender. And if you don't, we will shock and awe you.
And asking the Iraqi military to lay down their arms.
And as soon as you see the magnificent power of the American military, you will surrender. None of this has happened. And as a result, we have invaded a nation of 23 million with a standing army of over 450,000, an additional 120,000 elite Republican Guard troops, an additional 100,000 elite security forces loyal to Saddam, 80,000 Fedayeen paramilitary forces loyal to Saddam, 900,000 Ba'ath militia and tribal militia, and we've gone in with less than 120,000 boots on the ground. That's 120,000 combat forces in Iraq to take on this military might that, while it is not capable of effective offensive military operation, is capable and is willing to fight and die for Iraq. We've seen impressive military gains in the first couple days. This is part of the shock and awe campaign. You send a massive mechanized force through empty desert, shooting up the western bank of the Euphrates until you get within 50 miles of Baghdad. But then you run into military force. And the problem is now you have a 300-mile line of communication, and this force that's up in Karbala requires a constant supply of fuel, ammunition, and spare parts.
All of you understand the importance of a well-supplied and well-trained fighting force.
And when you don't get that, that force cannot fight. And because the Iraqis didn't surrender, because they didn't cave in, they are threatening this line of communication, choking off the fuel, the ammunition, the spare parts. And now we are incapable of waging effective offensive military action against Baghdad. This was all predictable.
The men and women who've worn the nation's uniform set an example of service and an example of sacrifice.
I predicted this in the fall of last year. I said if we carry out the Rumsfeld plan, we will be defeated because we cannot win militarily, we cannot win diplomatically, we will lose economically.
I've asked Congress for nearly $75 billion wartime supplemental appropriations bill.
We have troops stuck outside of Baghdad, incapable of waging effective offensive military operations. Our combat power is being bled away from the tip of the spear to protect an overextended line of communication. We went to war without reserve. No military commander would ever do that. We committed to a major offensive military operation without reserve.
There have been a variety of views offered on that subject, and a lot of them tend to cluster around the idea that the most serious period would be if the Iraqi regime did not flee and the forces got close to where they likely are in Baghdad or Tikrit, and the closer they got, the greater the danger of that. But we don't. That's been more a theory on the part of outsiders rather than a theory on the part of insiders.
And now we have dissipated our combat strength. We find we need more, and it's not there. The 4th Infantry Division is on its way, but it won't be ready until April. And even that's not enough. That will help stabilize the situation, but to be able to go back onto the offensive, we need at least two more division elements, the 1st Armored Division and the 1st Cavalry Division, which were originally earmarked to go, but Donald Rumsfeld, in his infinite wisdom, shut off that deployment. And now to get them, you're talking May. So we're looking at a two-month stalemate outside of Baghdad, in which the Iraqis are going to attrit us militarily and attrit us morally, because in order to sustain this front, we are going to have to shift our tactics to bombing the civilian population center of Baghdad, which will result in not a very significant degradation of the Iraqi command and control, but a significant degradation of the Iraqi civilian population. And we are teaching the world to hate us.
We are sending a clear signal to the world.
God told me to skin you alive.
Before the day of horror can come, before it is too late to act, this danger will be removed. We are sending a clear signal to the world.
To secure Iraq's oil fields.